And so it is, dear friends and dear teachers, that we gather together with you in this circle of the new energy. It is a delight to be back with you. The energy here with all of you in this space is loving and caring and filled with compassion and filling with the essence of your journey. For those who think it is energetic for us to come in, you have it all backwards. It is energizing for us to be here with you. It gives us, how do you say, your goosebumps all over our etheric being. For those who can see the colors of the ones who gather around you and gather around this stage, you will see this shimmering all over as we come into your sacred temple. Your sacred temple, that is what you create here, Chambra, teachers. When you gather like this, it is the temple of the new energy that is here. And you have allowed us into your sacred space. You have allowed us to come into the doors of this divine temple that you have created here. We take off our shoes in honor to you. Kaldra, he thinks that we have him remove his shoes because we do not so much like those funny things on the feet. But it is also our way of showing honor to you to remove our shoes and to be here with you. And we thank you for bringing us into the temple of the new energy. Dear ones, what an honor to be here. What an honor to see what you are doing. No small task is it to be the first into the new energy, and we will speak of that today. We will talk of what new energy truly is. But what an honor to be here with you. We send out so much love, does not need to be carried in words. Do you feel what we are sending you on this day? Do you feel what you are creating here? You, the ones who sit in this room, the ones who are connecting through your mass web, what you are creating. In a way, you could say, we take pictures of you, even though we heard the Kaldra say no pictures allowed, but we take a type of energy picture when we gather with you. And we put these up on our walls here on our side of the veil. And we line them up. And we line up the pictures of this group, of the Crimson Circle. And we line up individual pictures of each one of you who is here or who reads this. And we compare, we look back 1 year ago, and two, and we see the most magnificent changes that have taken place within you, and you too can see these pictures. Simply ask. We will bring you here to this room where all of these energy pictures are posted. We will bring you here at night. We will bring you here in your dreams, or even in your waking state, as you learn to release duality, you will learn to travel without cars or airplanes. And you too can get a glimpse of your pictures of where you have come in a few years. Oh, do you know, a few years is such a short period of time after you've had hundreds and some thousands of lifetimes But look what you are doing in a short period of time. The room fills, your temple fills with the energies of those who come in today, the one who is the invited guest for this lesson, and the many others who gather in the circles around, watching, honoring, and feeling the love of a small band of humans who has walked a long, long, difficult road for many lifetimes. Yes, is what we heard from you a month ago. Yes, is what we heard from your soul and from your human ego and consciousness when Metatron asked you, are you ready, dear ones? Yes, is what we heard from you when we asked, are you ready to free yourself of those things that have held you back? Indeed, there were those who put their own clauses into the yes. Yes, Spirit, but you must give me this. And you know what, dear ones? That is appropriate. For we need to know from you those things that you need on earth, and your own being, your own soul needs to hear too. You have been afraid to ask for things. You have thought that the bucket of spirit was limited. There was only so much soup in that container, and you wanted to make sure there was enough to go around for every human on earth, and we love you for that. But this is like a bottomless dish. And it is important for you to let us know what you need on your journey. Perhaps we cannot deliver it to you in a tangible material product, but we can deliver it to you with our energy and our love. And when you ask for things, when you put these clauses, into your yeses, it helps your own soul know what it is you need at this time. Do not be afraid to ask. Dear ones, let us know if there is love that you need, compassion that you need, and let yourself know that you need abundance now. You need abundance of energies in your life. Do not place limitations on how much, or when, or where. But simply put out the vibration to yourself and to all things around you that now is the time for these things of humanness, for these things of emotion, for these things of spirit to come into your life. And they will be brought to you. This is one of the physics of the new energy. It comes to you. Yes is what we heard when Metatron asked, if you are ready to show who you are you ready to express your being and your divinity? Yes is what we heard when Metatron asked you, are you ready to illuminate your divinity, not to keep it in that secret far off space, but to illuminate it within your being and all around? Yes is what we heard, a chorus of yeses coming from Chambra, when you were asked, are you ready to know who you truly are? Not this illusion of a human with limitations, not the illusion of one who is trapped in cycles of lifetimes on earth, but to ready to know yourself as God. For you left home a long, long time ago, but indeed not so long ago, as one who was in the kingdom, with the king and the queen, and as the prince and princess, as Jack, you would one day inherit the throne. You would one day bring that into your being And that is why Metatron asked, are you ready to know that you are the one that is inheriting the throne? There are many implications of this, which we will continue to discuss with you. But it is time for you to be God's self in your own right. Still in unity with all that is, but now with a separate identity. Are you ready to know who you are? Are you ready to receive the fruit of the rose? And what we heard was yes. But we are somewhat confused about what this is. This is the ownership of who you are, your divinity. It is the ownership, the knowing that you have created all solutions, even before the experience comes to you in your life. The fruit of the rose is your divinity. And when we asked, are you ready to receive it? You answered, all over the earth and in your individual hearts, yes, Metatron. Yes, Spirit, and yes, Tobias, we are ready. Why the heck do you think we have gone through so many difficulties? Why do you think you have to ask us these questions? Haven't we told you time and time again? But we asked, the Metatron asked, because now the time is so appropriate. And we asked you, are you ready to allow others their space, to understand that they are on a journey of their own, and in due time, they will come to you. But in the meantime, it is a matter of allowing them to play their game, allowing their soul to develop, to experience, and to know as you have. Dear ones, when we asked you, are you ready to love yourself? We heard all across the world, maybe. Maybe. This was the most difficult for you to answer because it put the question so deep within you. And it raised issues with you for nights and nights and nights to come. About your worthiness. Are you ready to love yourself? And you caught glimpses in your dreams and even in your waking state of things you had done in the past, of betrayals, of murders, of illnesses, of power, of corruption, all of these things, dear ones, all of these things that you did in duality. All of these judgments you placed on yourself, are you ready to love yourselves, dear ones, now? Are you ready to understand? This is all about experience. You have paid your dues. You have paid your dues from lifetime to lifetime. There is no reason now to hold anything from the past other than the wisdom of the experience. Spirit and Metatron and all of the others hold no judgments. They do not even know what sin is. We do not even know this thing that you call karma, for you have placed that on yourself. Are you ready, dear ones, we ask you today, to love yourself dearly and intimately. It's been said by those in the organizations and the churches and those who have taught in the old energy that there is something wrong with loving yourself, that it is narcissistic, that it is perverted in a way. But dear friends, it is the most sacred thing you can do. Love all of who you are and understand that all of your experiences have brought you to this moment of wisdom. Dear ones, we asked you, we ask you also, are you ready to release the illusion of duality? Are you ready to let go, even when you do not so much know what is coming in its place? Ah, a grand challenge. And so many of you said, I'm ready to release this, but I am so close to it, I do not even know that it is there. Duality is such an innate part of who I am, you said, that I do not know how to release it. The yes that came from your heart and from your being, that came from your mouth and was expressed for all to hear. This yes sets up an energy that helps to release duality. And you still do not know what you are moving into. This thing called the new energy is like a mystery. It is elusive. It is not understandable at this point. But it will come. We will speak of that today. Dear ones, when Metatron spoke of the winds and the fires and the rains and the rumblings of earth, indeed, he was speaking of those things that you read in your newspapers, those events that happen in nature all around you. But just as importantly, he was conveying a message to you about yourself. Are you ready for the fires that sweep across your body, sweep in your body? You may know them as the flu. You may know them as skin irritations. You may know them as hot flashes. But these are the fires that come from the clearing. For there is much friction taking place right now in your energetic being at your deep, deep levels, and friction causes heat, which brings on the fires that clear the inner being, the fires that clear the old scars. In your forests, there are trees that are down. There is debris on the ground. And in your own being, it is much the same. There are things that need to be cleared now, and the fires help release them. And the quakes that come up, indeed, Metatron was speaking as much of the shakings and the rumblings that come up within you, the body aches and pains, for your very DNA is being changed right now by you. Indeed, we are there at night. We stand around and help to provide a buffering effect for this. But you are changing your own DNA structure, your own molecules, your atomic level being. You are changing this. And this will cause quakes. And within your body, your shoulder, for instance, your knees, your toes, you hold things from the past energetically. In your tissues, in your bones, and sometimes it takes a quake to release these from within. And when that happens, do not come to us and say, Metatron and Tobias, why have you done these things to me? Why is my body aching? Dear one, it is because you are releasing. Understand that process and flow with it. And the waters that come, the waters, it is your tears. It is your tears that are being released within. The tears of your heart, not so much of what happens in your eyes. The tears of your heart, the waters within, the releasing. For there is indeed a sadness with leaving an energy. The energy of duality that you have called home for so, so long. But with this, with these tears of the heart, also washes away the residues of the past. It clears and it cleanses to allow you to truly move into the new energy. Ah, and the winds. The winds within No wonder there are winds within, for dear ones, you are going so fast right now. Have you ever put your hand out of a moving car that was going 100 miles an hour? You can feel the blast. That is much of what you are doing right now. You are going so rapidly into the new energy. It is causing a type of wind within. And the winds also clear. The winds also release. The winds are also at times like a velvet brush going across your entire being, soothing and comforting. At other times it is roaring, roaring like a hurricane, roaring and swirling like a tornado. All of these things happen within as you are going into this thing called the new energy. Much of what Metatron spoke of in our last gathering was about you, and you will also see these things happening in the world outside of you. For even as you are changing your consciousness, it is helping others to change theirs. Even if it is that you only sit at a desk all day for your job, or perhaps sit at a computer and do not much interfacing with others, the consciousness changes within are affecting the others around you. They're going through a process, much of like what you have gone through. Theirs will be a bit easier because they will have teachers, you, to guide them through. And they will come to you at the appropriate time. The energy of Metatron is firmly upon Earth. It has taken a while for this to come through. It has taken a while for Metatron to adjust his energy, their energy. It has taken a while for you to be able to truly absorb this. But this energy is firmly here now. No messengers need to be sent. No barrier like we had before. It is here. Metatron, dear ones, is you. Metatron is the collective energy of those who are truly moving into the new energy. You should see reflection in Metatron. When Metatron comes in, it is the illumination of who you are. It is your divinity. Metatron, who introduced himself, is your voice in spirit. Indeed, that is true. A part of you that has not been able to integrate at the earth level for many, many reasons. The part of you that was the divine consciousness, not able to come through, not able to come into duality until now. And this energy, Metatron, of you, of your divinity, is now firmly planted here. It was a delight for this consciousness of Metatron to speak to you a month ago. This consciousness will be speaking to you, but recognize yourself in this. Recognize Shamba in this voice of Metatron, in this energy of Metatron. It will continue. They will continue to work with you. Now, indeed, there is a special guest here on this day in our gathering that comes in. He's been coming in lately, little by little, coming in for the appropriate time. And this one comes in today for a celebration, for an understanding, and to give you an example of this journey into the new energy. The one who comes in today, a visitor in some of our recent discussions, is the energy of Gautama, of Buddha, Siddhartha, known by many names. known as the Enlightened One. The true essence of the word Buddha, the Enlightened One. This energy comes in today and is present, particularly at this time of the year, the time of your month of May, a time when dear Buddha was thought to have received his enlightenment under the Bo tree. But dear ones, he has something different to tell you about today. The energy of Gautama comes in today to be with us as we talk about the new energy of Earth. This energy of Gautama present among all of you, feel this fluid golden energy moving in and out, shimmering indeed with all colors, but filled with the golden qualities. We have brought and invited Gautama into several of our recent gatherings. We indeed brought him in to your place of the Salt Lake, where we spoke of truth, and we spoke of changing truth, evolving truth. There is no one single truth that remains static. It changes and evolves. Look at yourself. Look at the pictures on the wall that we have posted of you. You knew truth 2 years ago. The truth you know now is different. It is evolved and is wiser. We brought Gautama in to this place by the Salt Lake to let you know that truth evolves and changes. Your life and your truth will change even from what it is today. And indeed, a week and a day ago of your time, Gautama came in to this place of the New York City, into the temple there, into the sanctuary that was made for him. And his energy was present with all that were there. And it was important that his energy was there, for we spoke of something, a realization that Siddhartha came to in his lifetime, a fulfillment that he could not have in that lifetime. He understood it. He knew of it in his mind, and he felt the vibration of it in his being, but he could not be in that consciousness because of the energy of his day would not allow it. He came in a week and a day ago in this city that has gone through so much to be there to deliver a message about going into the void of creation. The void of creation. And he will speak to High Tobias and Kaudra more about that today. But before we proceed with Lesson 9 of the Ascension Series, dear friends, we will take a short pause. We will ask you to breathe. We will adjust the energies of this sacred temple that you sit in. Now, dear ones, Gautama is smiling today at all, for he knows that you are one who walks the path also. You are ones who are searchers, looking for truth, looking for the answers within. You are ones like the Buddha that do not settle for any truth along the path. You are not ones that stop and plant your feet and say, "This is truth, I will go no more." You all today who gather in this temple, you are Buddhas. You are enlightened ones. have to tell a bit of a story. And have you know,
Caldera, he is laughing. He thinks our story is funny.
But indeed, I, Tobias, literally met Buddha, met Gautama on the path. For I was one in my lifetime, as Tobias the merchant. I was one who traveled to lands far and wide to buy for the king. And there were some journeys that I took that were perhaps a bit longer than what the king would be pleased with. But I was drawn to this area where Gautama traveled. And it was that I heard that he was in a village not so far from where I was buying. And I made a journey over to that village to sit to listen to him. I was a relatively young man at the time, and he was relatively in his senior years. And I sat and listened to him, and I, one who, not to say, was stuck in my own belief, but yet always searching, always investigating. Indeed, I was a Jew who believed that all should be that way. I was one who was very strict with my beliefs, but yet I always liked turning an ear to hear what others had to say. And I can share with you and share with Gautama that indeed when I listened to him and when I saw the peace upon his face and I saw a divine presence all around, this did indeed change much of my thinking. I listened to him for hours. I had the pleasure of speaking with him briefly afterwards. There were not many words from his mouth. There was much energy that came pouring from his heart. And I asked him the question, and I said, "Dear Enlightened One, Prince Buddha, tell me of the truth you have found. Speak to me of what it is that you know that I should know also." And Buddha burst out laughing. And he said, "Why is it that you think that I have found the truth?" And I said, "Dear Buddha, because of the stories that I have heard, you have been called the Enlightened One. You've been called the Wise One." And he laughed again, and he said, "Truth is always evolving. You never find it. You just realize certain energies having to deal with it. When you think you have found truth, it is time to continue moving on. It is time to continue looking for the next level of truth." "Why," he said, "why do you think I continue to walk on these many roads from village to village, not teaching what I know, not satisfied with staying in one place?" But he said, "I do teach each person that the divine is within, that the enlightenment is within. They will never find it in another person or another place." And a sadness came over him. And he said, "Do you know, dear Tobias, that this is the message that I have, and yet so few want to hear it? They want to see miracles." And he said, "I can perform a few. They are tricks in a way, perhaps miracles, but I choose not to, because I do not want the energy focused on that. They want miracles, and they do not want to hear that it is within. They want a savior, and I cannot be that for them. So I continue to search for my expanded truth and hope that the energy and the message that the divine is within reaches upon some ears." that lifetime when I met Gautama had such an impact. Such an impact. It was part of my own soul experience. And can you imagine what it is a delight for me to have Gautama in our presence on this day, in our presence here, to be with you energetically, but also to reveal something about who you are. It was that Gautama was born into royalty, a prince. Now, that should tell you something right there. The fact that he was a prince born in the kingdom to the king and the queen, to royalty, and one day he would inherit the throne. There is no mistake in this correlation. When he grew up, his parents and those around him knew there was something different. Does this sound familiar, dear ones? Those around him and his own parents knew there was something different about him, and they tried to keep him. They tried to keep him from this budding of enlightenment, from following the difficult journey. They pampered him in many ways. They shielded him in many ways, not allowing him to see the difficulty and challenges of the human journey. But there was something always nagging within him. I wanted to know what it was really like out there to help him to understand what he was really like on the inside. Does this sound familiar, Chambra? So it was that Gautama tried to satisfy those around him. And at one point, he even married at a very young age, when he was but 16 years old. He married because this was expected of him. This was an energy that others placed on him. And within a few years of time, he had a child. He had a young one. And what did he do? What did he do? He left. He left. He became so disillusioned with life. He had a renunciation of the world that he was living in. Oh, could you imagine that if he was living today, the stories and the headlines, father abandons family. Prince leaves. All the abundance that was there. But Gautama had to go out on a search. A search to find his own truth and his own divinity. And he left. And he took the vows of poverty. Does this sound familiar, dear ones? He took the vows of chastity. He released all of those things from the royalty that he'd been. He changed his disguise and changed his identity, dear Chambra. He felt that his body and his humanness was not appropriate, was holding him back, keeping him from knowing who he truly was. So he abused his body by not feeding and nourishing it. He tried to deny himself rather than following the song of his heart. He did this in his search for the truth. Does this sound familiar, dear Chambra? He left his relationships with all who he had known. He endured many physical and emotional hardships on the path. And he went to study with a teacher, a grand and a wise teacher. He studied, dear ones, the art of no thing. Indeed he did. For he felt that he emptied out his entire being, that he would come to know who he was. And he studied long and hard with the master of letting go, but Dear ones, Gautama is here to tell you today that what indeed he was doing was one more level of denying. Of denying his mind the ability to operate and to have vibrations and energies pass in and out of it. He was taught in his studies how to block the mind, how to stop the flow of energy. It was what he had also done to his body. He had denied his body of the love. Indeed, he learned much in doing this. He learned that pain is not so much fun. He learned that indeed, there are many altered state trips that you can take when your body and your mind are at those deep levels of denial. But that altered state trips that he was taking were not so much based in living or reality. They were also illusions, and they did not bring back with them the essence of love, the essence of spirit, and the essence of truth. Gautama had fun playing with this, fun with this deep level of denying when his hair fell out because there was no nutrients feeding it, and when his toenails literally fell out, for he was not loving his body, he was denying it, and when his bones became brittle, he learned this denial, this no thing. But one day, the inner voice within Gautama realized that this was not truth, that this was not the truth he sought. It was but an aspect. So he left, and he continued down the road. He continued his deep levels of meditation. He continued his ceremonies. He continued all those sacred practices. For in a sense, this was helping to drive him. These were creating low points. Oh, indeed, Gautama had depression and fear and anxiety. But what he was really doing was creating a low to help him eventually get to a new level of enlightenment. And along the road, he heard of another teacher. And the teachings of this new wise one sounded true, sounded deep. So he went to be schooled by a second master. And this second master taught him the art of non-perception, taught him the art that all things are merely perceptions and illusions. And Gautama loved this study, loved this game of the mind of having no perception, no illusions of anything, of releasing all of these things. In a sense, it was the antithesis of the denial that he had been in before, but he came to find out later that indeed, no perception is simply another form of denial. When everything is called an illusion and nothing is brought back, when there is denial that there is indeed a now that you are living in, that is just another form of denial. Does that sound familiar, Chandra? Gautama left the second school at a deep level of despair, having not found the answer and the truth that he was truly searching for. And at some point, dear ones, at some point, he realized that this life of denial, this life of blockages, this life of not living in the now moment was not truth. And he resumed eating again and feeding his body. And he went back to a life of some abundance. For he realized having no abundance was only causing pain. With his new wisdom, he had a balance of understanding, of energies, of abundance, of feeding the body, of allowing flow through the mind. He had a new wisdom where he knew that he would not abuse the energies that came to him, the powers that came to him, and the enlightenments that he was having. He came back into the now world, resumed relationships with ones who were families and who had been friends. Do you understand what Gautama is telling you on this day, dear ones? In that energy is when he received his major enlightenment in that lifetime, that major understanding. While he was sitting under the tree, the realization that indeed he was spirit, expressing as a human, but indeed he was spirit. When he understood this at the deepest levels within him, others saw it upon his face, in his countenance, dear ones. And they began to follow him. They began to want what he had. And he continued to tell them over and over, it is within you. Indeed, I can offer you wisdom of my experience, but the journey is your own. They did not so much like this following, but they did. They did. Now, many books have been written and many temples have been erected to the Enlightened One, to Siddhartha, Buddha. Many people talk of his journeys, what he learned. But he is here today to tell you one thing. He's here to tell you that this so-called enlightenment, this so-called divine understanding, he could not fully grasp in his lifetime. But it is available to you, Shamba, in your lifetime. We will explain what we mean by this. Now, let us talk for a moment here of energies, of how they work, and of duality. Let us talk for a moment of the highs and the lows. And then let us talk of the new energy of Earth that you are walking into. We will speak to you in these next three lessons of the new energy and of what is truly happening around you. Duality, you could say, was a method for you to look at yourself, to look at the opposite in the mirror. You came from one, from a kingdom where there was only one. When you left home, when you left the first circle, dear friends, that is when the first energies of duality came in. That is when you were first able to start looking at yourself in the mirror. Duality, two opposites. It is also when you first began to have identity that was your own. Up until then, you were simply one who lived in the kingdom, in oneness. Now you were beginning to develop your own identity. This identity of yours, as the prince, as Jack, was like, how to say, a boulder in the water. And we've spoken of that recently. It was like a boulder. It caused the water to break its flow. The energies up to then, the energies in the kingdom were a singular flow. Now, your essence of identity was like a boulder in that stream of divine energy. What happens with that when you put a boulder in the water is it also causes turbulence around. It breaks up the flow. It creates turbulence around it. Some water rushes over, some water rushes around the side, and vortexes are created at the other end of the rock. In a sense, that is what duality is. It is your sense of identity outside of the kingdom that sits like a boulder in the stream of energies. All this is appropriate. All appropriate for it is helping you, dear prince and princess, to develop new understandings of who you truly are. The energies of duality, in a sense, are a sense like waves that occur after the boulder. There are, as you know, in the waves, there are highs and lows, ups and downs. Duality is like a wave of energy. You've seen how this is drawn. A wave of energy going up and down and up and down. Now, let us also explain that when you left home, when you left the first circle, there was, in a way, we know there were some who want to argue this, but there was a limited amount, a finite amount of energy that left. When you, all of you, Jack, left home, there was a finite amount of energy that left. Now, this finite amount is vast. It is vast and vast. You do not ever have to worry about it as a human of running out of energy. But it was a limited amount. And over the course of time, even before you came to Earth, the energies of duality played off of each other. The light played off the dark. The left played off the right. Male played off female. And in a sense, they did a dance together. At times, they collided with each other. All as a way of shifting energies, but never creating new energy. These waves of energies of duality, they would change their, their balance, but never change the quotient of energy within them. Duality is simply two energies opposing, at times coming together, at times trading roles with each other, at times putting on a new face, a new mask, but never changing the ultimate level of total energy between the two. Now, in your lifetimes, there are highs and lows. These are the waves of duality that come through. You experience them at many different levels. You experience high and lows emotionally and physically and even spiritually. And what you tend to do as humans is to try to get out of the lows. The lows are appropriate, for in the difficult times, dear ones, look back on your life. Was it not the lows and the most challenging times of your life that you had the greatest insights, the greatest understandings? And you also had the greatest desire to get the heck out of that low. You would do anything. You were not complacent in the low. Neither was Gautama when he went through his period of denial, for he was in the lowest state of lows, physically, mentally. But yet, this provided the energy for him and the desire for him to keep moving along. In duality, the lows would provide, a roller coaster effect to take you to a high. In the highs are when you would solidify the enlightenments and the wisdom that you gained in the lows, and to bring it into a more crystalline form, to bring it into a more tangible form. But you know what happens, dear Shamba. When you get to the top, when you get to the high peak, we know you. You want another experience. So you allow yourself to roll back into the low. Do you know? Do you see yourself in this? The lows help you to gain the potential for wisdom, to gain the motivation to continue going. Then you bring these into your high states and, in a sense, anchor them there before you go into your next state. That is how duality has worked, highs and lows. We have spoken before to some that it is very detrimental to trying to avoid the lows. That is why we have spoken against these drugs that put a blanket. I put a blanket on living in the now. Ah, the lows. They have been so precious. They have been such part of your journey and such part of the Thomas journey. That is the way duality has worked. We know so many of you, you fear these lows. You loathe the lows. You do not want to be in these. You think there is something wrong with them, but they are a natural part of duality. Think of these waves that have brought you here, the ups and the downs. Now, it has never created new energy. It has simply brought new understandings to the energy that has been there. Now comes the time that Metatron spoke of, that we have spoken of, when you enter into the new energy. You are entering into it now. It is no longer like a wave of high and low. It is difficult to describe here. And indeed, even the words we say today, we will evolve these in later discussions, but to keep it simple, instead of a linear wave going in one direction, now, in the new energy, it is like another wave that runs. Instead of an up and down wave, this goes to the sides, and it interweaves with the old wave of duality. One wave still going up and down, but a new one coming in that goes sideways, that goes left and right, and these intersect with each other. And this is much of the energy of the new energy. Now, we'll have many more discussions about this and the implications of it. But it is to say that first, duality is not destroyed or denied. It is expanded. You go from 2 to 4. And we'll ask Kaudra or one who is Shambhu, who is an artist, to help draw out what we're speaking of here. But you will see there are 4 wave patterns in the new energy, ups and downs, but also side to side. And they tend to intermingle with each other and intersect with each other. And this helps to take the perception of the challenge of the lows out, because there is a new balancing wave that flows on its side. This is the new energy. It is duality, but it has a whole other dimension and a whole other element to it. Now, we've also spoken of a week and a day ago of the void of ascension. The void of ascension. We have planted this energy in this place of your New York City that has a large void within it at this time. There are the buildings that represented duality. Oh, and we spoke less than a year ago to you. We said the walls would come tumbling down. We meant this literally, figuratively. And indeed, the walls of duality represented by the 2 buildings came down. No, we did not know less than a year ago that this would be the specific place, but we knew the energies were there for it. It could have been other buildings. It could have been institutions. It
could have been governments. In a sense, you as humans chose it to be the symbols of duality. Next to your Statue of Liberty that represented freedom, do you not think the energies of freedom helped to release the energies of duality? Now, when these buildings came tumbling down and the debris was cleared, as it is now, there remains a void, there remains nothing but a hole. And we said to this group in the city a week ago, it is not the time to rebuild. It is time to leave the void in place. Oh, indeed, it may be appropriate to put a monument there, a park. But yet, it is best to leave it blank for a while, for a period of time. How does this relate to you in your life, dear ones? How does this relate to the new energy, and how does it relate to Gautama, our guest on this day? It is simple. As you are transitioning into the new energy, and you have experiences come up in your life, you have questions come into your life, and challenges, you go into the void for a brief period of time. When you have a very pressing question on your mind, do not ask us. Do not even try to fill in the blank yourself. Oh, there is such a tendency with humans. When you're ready to release something, you want the answer to the new there before you release. It does not work that way in the new energy. You go into a void, and we say void because you just allow it to be for a period of time. You allow it to be on the inside of all of who you are. You take your situation, perhaps it is about a job, perhaps your job has been pulled out from underneath you. There's a tendency to want to replace it immediately. There is every human energetic tendency to want to replace it. For you see your bills stacking up, and you see your checkbook going down, and you scream out and say, I need that to be replaced. But dear ones, go into the void of ascension. When there are issues in your life, and we saw so many of them at your recent workshop on abundance, and we had Calder talk about being in a place of stillness, of quiet, of not asking Spirit for the answer, not asking I, Tobias, not trying to manufacture an answer for yourself, but going into the void for a short period of time. This is putting the putting the problem or the question at hand, putting it aside for a period of time. Why? Because if you try to replace it, if you try to solve it in the moment, you'll be trying to solve it in the mind of duality. You'll be trying to solve it in the old energy. Put it aside, whatever this challenge or question is. What happens is your own divinity that exists in the new energy will bring resolution. This is the solution that Metatron spoke of, the one that is already there, but it exists in the new energy, not in the old. And it allows your divinity to bring this up in you and through you, and then you will have the aha moment. The knowingness, the awe that we spoke of, the enlightenment we spoke of. But there is a short time of this void of ascension. When you have let go of the old, when you have released the old and not replaced it yet, it is not an abyss, it is not darkness, it is not the low of duality in the cycle that we spoke of. Is that you're setting it aside for a divine moment into the void. Now, what
happens here, dear friends, is a miracle. Is a miracle. As you put it to the side, let it be. Let your own divinity, let the fruit of the rose bring forth the divine solution. As you allow this to happen, something takes place that is precious, that is fulfillment, that is what even Gautama could not realize in his lifetime. When you pose the question and let divinity find solution, new energy is created. New energy. I told you earlier that when you left home, the kingdom, a finite, limited amount of energy came with you. No new energy has ever been created. It has always been transformations or redos out of the existing energy base. And do you remember we have spoken to you that at some point in your universe, in these beautiful stars that you created before you came to Earth, do you remember we spoke to you and said that all things came to a halt out there, for those who have gone to this school, told to request this, intensive that you do. We speak of this Star Wars period where energy could move forth no more. It came to an impasse. It stopped. That is when the order of the Ark was created, to find a solution to the impasse. That is why Earth was created, to find solution of the impasse of energy that had occurred. With all these new scientific ventures that you are seeing out into space, for probing into space, you are looking at your past when you see these stars. You are looking at what you left behind, at what you created. That's what it is. And you know, as we said, technology follows consciousness. Your consciousness is rising. You are at that point of quantum leap in your personal consciousness. So is it no wonder these pictures from space that you created would come back to you now? And you know what your scientist will see? Quite soon, that will go in the face of everything that they have ever speculated, and it will indeed go in the face of what so many of your world religions teach. They will find that the universe is finite. They will find that at some point, all energies stop. They will not understand how to interpret this. They will not understand how they can see so much motion and energies taking place out there. But they will come to an understanding that everything stopped at a point. What they don't realize is that point exists in the now. What they are seeing is something of the past. But that is a whole other discussion. So, the significance of what you are doing. When you release duality, those waves of highs and lows, and you go into this place of the void of ascension, where there you are not bringing in the old energy or duality, you are not seeking solutions from the mind of duality, you go into this quiet space. You do not sweat over your problems, but you allow the fruit of the rose to bring forth the resolution. This is indeed when new energy is created. Never before done. Now, this new energy is not in a form, how to say, that you would recognize right away. It is not in a form that is going to go shooting through your hands and feet. It is not in a form that you can consume. But it is new energy, and there will be implications all around you. We will speak of that in our next
two lessons in this series. This lesson, number 9, dear ones. Lesson number 9 of the Creator Series. You are creating new energy. You are. By releasing duality without trying to replace it with the consciousness of the old energy, as you transition and you find solution that comes from within, this creates new energy. Never been done before. Implications of this are tremendous. The implications to consciousness, to Earth, and to you as individuals. Your practical tool to work with, your homework for the next 30 days, is to go into the void of ascension. Into this place where you are no longer in the old energy. You are not trying to find the solution in your mind of duality. Go into this place. Could be terrifying at first, but you will get out. The solution will come from within, and you will know the voice as your own when it comes up. And you will have wisdom surrounding it, and you will have enlightenment surrounding it. Gautama is delighted to be here on this day. It marks the month of his own supposed enlightenment, but he shakes his head and says, I had enlightenment for that time and that consciousness of Earth. But because of the entire consciousness of Earth, he says, I could not go into this true place of divinity. I could not create new energy. Indeed, I came to understand many things about my journey, he says. But the true enlightenment, I could not realize because the consciousness of Earth was not ready for it at the time. Gautama could not go into the ascension energy that you can. There are many wonderful things that he realized and he did. But he could not go into the void of ascension, for it did not exist. Now, we bring Gautama in on this day in particular because we also want to point out to you something that's important here. Meditation has been a very important part of your journey up to now. And we've asked you recently to release this. Meditation served you well, and indeed, it served the Buddha quite well. He is very well known for it. But in meditation, there has been a form of denial where you've tried to block the mind and the body. You've tried to clear yourself in the new energy. Even in the void of the new energy, there is no blockage. All energies come through your being. The river flows once again. Identity is melded into the river now. It does not need to be a boulder in the water. It flows through you. It is like the breath coming through you. It flows in and it flows out. We've asked you to release the meditation. Do not assume another practice at this time. Do not try to replace it with anything else at this time. It was appropriate, again, for you, for the Buddha. The void is not a meditation. It is not an attempt to clear the mind. All that is an allowingness for the divinity to bring solution and expression in and through you. It is creating that pause, that zone where, dear ones, divinity can sneak up within, because if you are always struggling and pushing and trying to do ceremony and trying to do prayer and meditation, your divinity does not have a chance to come through, for you are always trying to fill it with something. When the void is there, the divinity can come through. Do not try to replace the old energy with new. Do not try to replace these buildings in this place of New York for new buildings. There is an, will be an attempt, is an attempt to do this at this time, where they want to cover up something. They want to quickly fill in. The void is uncomfortable. There is nothing there. Humans, in duality, always wanted something there, always wanted to fill, always wanted to replace. Be in the void of ascension for a bit. Then your divinity, your God self, can come roaring through you. When it does, you will have insights and understandings that you could not possibly have had in the mind of duality. You will have realizations and you will have things happen to you that are not in the least what you are expecting. Because you are expecting from a mind of duality. It will be very different. We cannot explain it much further than that. It is an experience you will have to have. That is why we ask you to release your guides. That is why we ask you to release the crystals. All of the other accoutrements that you fill your energy with. Release them. Be in the void of ascension. That is when your divine self can come through. And again, it will be nothing like what you expect it to be. We know that is true. Dear ones, lesson number 9, also understand you are creating new energy. You thought this new energy just was a replacement word for new age? It was not. We're defining a physics that is happening. When we speak of new energy, you are creating it. Calder now scolds us, tells us the day is getting long. Indeed. Indeed it is. But, dear ones, we wanted to bring this energy now to Shamba, the understanding of what it is like to be in the void of ascension, to know that divineness comes through, to know that a whole new energy is taking place. It is taking place. It is phenomenal. It is taking place after eons of time. It is happening now, and you wonder sometimes why the journey is difficult. Gautama says his journey was difficult for him at the time, but nothing like yours. For the waves of duality, these highs and lows, were more spread out, and they weren't as high or low in his lifetime as Buddha. Yours are very compressed now. The waves are going very fast. There are high highs and low lows. They're flipping, changing directions faster than ever. That is indeed posed a challenge for you. Indeed. We also point out, dear ones, the Gautama told stories of journeys. We all told stories of journeys back in our days. That is how we explained things. That is how we expressed enlightenments. And indeed, even Siddhartha had 4 realizations and 4 enlightenments and met 4 humans on the road. So there's not just Guy Tobias that does that. There is a significance with the number of 4. It is the new energy, and there is a significance with any story of Shambhara on the road. When Shambhara is on the road and on the journey for truth, Shambhara, you are accompanied by the ones who call you Master, and they go by the name of Yeshua and Metatron and Gautama and all the others, for you are never alone. We love you dearly, and so it is.